pretty much the middle of his ministry, Jesus has a word to those who would be his disciples. Kind of a motto, a mantra, something to remember each day of working in his name. And that is simply this, from the end of Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, "To whom much is given, much will be required." It's an interesting question, what will be required? I've had kind of a surreal week in a couple of different ways. My research has led to a publication that'll come out in a journal in March, and it deals with the issue of body art and deviance, sort of making the claim that it's taking more tattoos now to characterize someone as an edgy, someone with an edgy lifestyle. And all it took was body art, tattoo, and deviance to catch some attention. The article was published online a couple of days after Christmas, and a research reporting magazine out of Canada picked it up and ran a story on it just after New Year's. Well, I got a call on Tuesday this week from a reporter for the Chicago Tribune who had picked up that research report and did a short interview with me over the phone, and an article came out in the Chicago Tribune on Wednesday morning. And then things got a little nutty. I got three or four calls for other media interviews at various television and radio and newspaper outlets. And on Thursday, about 12:30, I got an email from a production assistant at CNN who said, "Can you go on the air live, Prime News, at 4:45? And I said, "Yeah, I'll drop everything, you know." So I went out to the Fox News studio in Lubbock and was live on CNN for about 17 minutes on Thursday afternoon, which was surreal in a couple of different ways. One was that even though I'm now out on the national media, I'm in a room all by myself, which is very strange. There was a camera in the room, and the only input I had, no video at all, was through an earpiece. And so I'm hearing what's going on and have no frame of reference to focus my attention other than on what's being said on the air and also what's being said by a producer over the top of that into my ear. It's very strange to be in touch with the entire country and yet all alone in a room. That was odd. Well, I went home after the thing, and of course we'd TiVo'd it, so I watched it. And in the course of watching it, things in my mind became even more surreal, because here I am, you know, on a split screen and then on full screen from time to time, talking about tattoos. And underneath it, on the screen, in the crawl, you know, that they do, are further updates on the nature of the both devastation, problems, and body count in Haiti. And I'm thinking, what do I have to say about anything that has any reason to be on the air in light of this? It's very strange. And I was left with the idea that I have been uncommonly blessed. I'm lucky for reasons that no one can know, that I wasn't born in Haiti, that for reasons that have little to do with my initiative, more relative opportunity, I didn't decide that my call to ministry included missionary work in Haiti or someplace like that. Even I live in a country where even when a comparably powerful earthquake hit our country in San Francisco in 1989, it was terrible in lots of ways. Lots of loss of property, by comparison, a small amount of loss of life, but not, you know, approaching now perhaps mid-six figures in the body count. It's stunning. And it is just dumb luck. We were born here. We get to live here in an area where we are blessed beyond our ability to describe it, except perhaps in light of something like an earthquake in Haiti. So we have been given much, and that's what prompted me to seek this text out. To whom much is given, much will be required. Well, what is required of us in light of the fact that this is simply the next day of the next week, but also in light of the devastation in Haiti? There's very little that any of us can do directly to change that. Now, there are some little things that we can do, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But in the broader scheme of things, how do we continue to do what we are called to do? And that call is perhaps a little more urgent in light of the fact that there are many, 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 many others of God's children in dreadful conditions now. I think it made me think of actually something that comes out of part chaos theory and part moral philosophy. It's called the butterfly effect. And that is sort of the theme of this conversation. The butterfly effect, hypothetically and theoretically, asserts that when a butterfly flaps its wings in China, it changes the weather in New York. Literally, through a series of interactions of thermals and all of that. And the point of this is that there are no small changes to complex systems. So I began to wonder that what might be required of us is a kind of butterfly effect's worth of two or three things that may not change the immediate landscape in Haiti, but will, I believe, have an effect of which we cannot fully account. So I'm going to suggest that what's required of us this day, no different than what's required of us in some sense any day, but perhaps more urgently so, is a butterfly effect's worth of, first of all, generosity. And this has to do with an understanding of stewardship. If we were to try to create anything, build a house, build a sandcastle, make a mud pie in the dirt, we would have to recognize that at the start, it's God's dirt. And everything that we are a part of, everything that we receive, all that we have, belong to God in the first place, which gives us a perspective on how deeply we're blessed. And our job is to simply share that. Share it in ways that actually can be systematized. You know, the biblical standard for returning to God what we've been blessed with is the tithe, 10% of our giving. That, now, there are many, many biblical standards, most of which actually we don't come close to, and this is probably one of them. Nationally, the average charitable giving is about 1 to 2% typically of folks' household income. Well, one way to think about a butterfly effect's worth of generosity is to take whatever that is in your life, in my life, and begin to increase it incrementally. When I was in seminary, they actually taught us in a seminar on stewardship that try thinking of it this way. Whatever percentage of your income that you give away, a year from now, consider raising that by 1% of your income. Take 1% of your income and add it to what you're already giving away. Well, that means in 10 years, you'll be tithing incrementally. In practical terms, a $60,000 household income raised by 1%, $600 a year, $50 a month. And if we can't live on $50 less a month, we probably can't live on what we're making anyway. You know, and I guess it's one way to keep things into perspective. Now, a little bit extra now wouldn't hurt. You know, there are opportunities through Breedlove. There are several websites which give us a chance to at least begin to contribute again a butterfly effect's worth of immediate contribution. But broader than that, perhaps a level of generosity that goes beyond and becomes an incrementally increasing part of our lifestyle. What will be required of us? Generosity. And in whatever way that works itself out, I believe that when that butterfly's wings flap, there will be changes of which we cannot fully comprehend, but will make a difference. Generosity. Second, I think that to whom much is given, what will be required is at least a butterfly effect's worth of tolerance. If I've learned one thing about being momentarily a part of the national media, and my 15 minutes of fame is at least 14 and a half minutes over, and that's good. Although Fox 34, the local affiliate for Fox, did do an interview with me on Friday, and that's supposed to be on their newscasts both morning and night tomorrow. And maybe that'll be the end of it. But what I have learned is that when the public gets a hold of something that you've done, it's less an issue with reporting what you did accurately than making a report that has enough of an edge on it to get some attention. And there are competitors in the media that also want to put an edge on Cook's latest body art study, and everything else for that matter, an edge that competes with the edginess of their competition, you see. And that's why we have MSNBC and Fox News and NPR and NBC and so on. And you get a sense of the rhetoric that goes back and forth between personalities like Bill O'Reilly and Keith Olbermann, who do little other than report the news by shouting about each other, you see. Well, it takes all kinds to make a world. There are many, many different ways to be right. And it would seem to me that a butterfly effect's worth of agreeability, even when we disagree, in the form of tolerance for things that perhaps we wouldn't choose, but we don't live in somebody else's shoes either, would change the world. I know there's all of us that have this little bone somewhere in our beings that if we were to be brutally honest and let the truth of what we think come out, we would say, you know what, if everybody just lived like me and believed what I believed, the world would be fine. Not likely. Because there really are competing points of view, and the discussion over which how something from here and something from here may come together and actually have the whole be greater than the sum of its parts, well, there's a possibility for that. If we recognize through a butterfly effect's worth of tolerance that even disagreements can be agreeable. What's required of us? Generosity, tolerance. And one way to bring that about, I think, is through courtesy. Courtesy. Just being one click's worth more, one butterfly effect's worth more, polite in our conversation, I think will change the world. Now, people sometimes ask me, where do you get your ideas for these sermons? Well, I mostly tell you what I know for a fact I most need to hear. Because, frankly, I'm the only preacher I listen to. If I hear two sermons other than my own in a given year, that would be a lot. So if I'm going to get something out of this process, I have to kind of give everybody what I... And I must tell you that I do not have the most temperate or courteous approach to some of the things I say and do. I use humor a lot to make a point, both here and also in class. And I must recognize that humor and anger and sarcasm are two sides of the same coin. And there is an edginess to the way I look at the world and the way I describe it to others that sometimes goes over the top. And it's useful, I think, to remember that please and thank you are, in fact, magic words. And one way to express tolerance is through courtesy. Having said that, I don't think, for example, that Rush Limbaugh's concern about whether or not money given through the White House website will actually go to Haiti, or Pat Robertson's assertion that perhaps Haiti has been the result of some action of the devil that they had coming to them, that is not helpful. Dialing back the tone of our words through a butterfly effect's worth of courtesy will in fact change the weather in New York. God gives us an amazing amount of blessing. The opportunity to live in a safe place, to be a part of the country that contributes so much to the rest of the world. I did not know, and I'm sure all of you did before this week, that 10% of the world's cotton crop are grown within 100 miles of where we're sitting. That's a stunning level of blessing that we contribute to the world and that all of us are a part of. And I think to honor that and to honor the efforts of those who are doing what we cannot do, and that is do what can be done on the ground in Haiti, we can, starting today and every day, put into the world a butterfly effect's worth of generosity, tolerance, and courtesy. If Bill Clinton and George W. Bush together can join forces with the collective weight of their stature as past presidents and try to do some good with it, well, we can hold hands a little tighter and disagree a little bit less. And when we do, do it more agreeably. Because it is required of us because of the great wealth of resource that we have been given. Amen.